Hallelujah to God. All the glory to God. I got this. Thank you, love. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I wanted everybody in here and the kids not being dismissed, because he spoke this to me this week in my office, and he come on me, and he's been on me all week for this. And I've just want to present it to you, and I want those that are part of the church through the streaming to hear this as well. This is very important. Of course, you know this is the first Sunday in March, and there'll be 5 Sundays this month, and we'll culminate on Easter Sunday. But the Lord said to me, and I didn't hear it to start with exactly in these words, but he continued to speak all week long, and I kept saying, Lord, I want to hear clearly, make sure. He said, March, this month, that he wanted this to be declared among us, and those of you that will receive it, as a month of intercession and blessing. A month of intercession and blessing. And he put it to me like this. He said, I want you to prove me. He said, I want you, the church, and those out there, I want you to prove me and see what I'll do. I said, okay, I'll do that. And he reminded me of Daniel's example when he came into the house of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian eunuch, the one that was over them. You know, they were supposed to eat certain things, and Daniel said, no, we won't defile ourselves with the king's meat, but if you'll let us go so many days, I think it was 10 days, and then it extended, if you'll let us go 10 days, just watch, let's just watch and see what happens. If we don't look better than all the other young men, then you can put us back on the king's meat, but just see what happens. And God told me to tell you that he wants you to see what happens. A month of intercession and blessing. Well, what does that mean specifically? Let me just read these. Don't even try to turn to them because we don't have time and we need to do something else if God wills. I'm just going to give you some scriptural examples. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And then Matthew 10:40. I'm just laying a groundwork here. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whosoever shall give. Now this is the accentuated part he wants you to get. The simplicity of it, just this simple, who gives a drink of unto you or one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple. Verily, I say unto you, he shall not in no wise lose his reward. Then Matthew 10:29-31 says this, are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your heavenly Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows that much about you. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more of value than many sparrows. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, he said, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, this was Paul's testimony, without ceasing, I make mention, he just says, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Well, that's leading to something that God wants to tell us this morning, specifically in his instruction. Romans 15:30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And then in Ephesians 1:16, we're instructed, cease not to give thanks for you. He said, this is his testimony, making mention of you in my prayers. He just said, I make mention of you. I speak about you or call your name out. And then in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you always laboring fervently in your prayers, for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect, complete in the will of God. And 1 Thessalonians 1:2 says, We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention, again, just making mention of you in our prayers. I exhort, therefore, this is 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And then 2 Thessalonians, or Timothy rather, 1, 3, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance, just mentioning remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And then Philemon 1, 4, he said, I thank my God, making mention, fourth time we've heard that, of these always in my prayers, just making mention. And then 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. God is asking us to prove him and to see what comes about as a result of these instructions. Well, what are the instructions? What he's asking us to do is for 1 month, and I'm going to pray over you in a moment. If you want to have prayer, I'm not going to pray over you individually. I'm going to pray over this congregation and through the camera, that a grace comes on us for 1 month to remember each other in prayer, and at the very least mention the name and add, Lord, I'm asking you to bless them. Now, how simple can it be? How simple can it be? Because I'll guarantee you, most of you, you're good people, but most of you don't go through your week thinking about everybody else in this church or some other things that I'm going to mention. And if the Lord leads you to make an extended, if you know anything about them and the Lord leads you to make any extended prayer for them, that's fine. But as you go, maybe even in your private prayer closet, if you have one, and I pray you do to some extent, but the Lord is saying, speak intercessory blessings over all of your family, the church family, this week or this month, for the month of March, and see what kind of atmosphere happens. Let's prove this for 1 month. As you go, now you're not going to be remembering this too much right to start with, but the Holy Ghost is going to come and he's going to wake you up and say, I want you to just bless them as you're driving, going to work, coming home. Here's the instructions. According to the grace and remembrance from God in your prayer time, as you go, the simplicity of blessing is this: blessing daily the body of Christ in this house. Not just your pastor, not just elders, but think about the people that sit around you. If you don't know their name, you know that lady that sits over there, God, that just know, or that man that sits over there. Or I speak blessing over their life. I don't know what they're going through, but I'm asking you to take them to another level of spirituality. If that's too much and you're too busy, just bless them. There's power in just making, I just read 4 verses where he said, I just make mention of you. I mention you before God. I just mention you. Bless daily the body of Christ outside of this house. You know, other ministries, other preachers, other people that you love and you appreciate. But here's the one that it's really, here's where it really gets good. I like this one. I sincerely, with all my heart, I'm not being smart, although I can be often in a good way, I hope. But here's where it really gets good. Here's where the atmosphere can really change. Bless your enemies. Bless your enemies. Think about people that don't like you and call down blessings on them. Bless people that there's at least a couple of families in here, they're being sued. And I know the reasons. It's nothing they did. bless the people. See, people get mixed up. Maybe they've never had teaching. Blessing somebody that's trying to destroy you or that somebody that's evil doesn't mean you're blessing the evil. Do you understand that? You're supposed to bless President Biden. How so? I pray blessings. I pray he's healed in his cognitive ability. If you like it that his cognitive ability is messed up, you're wrong. You need to say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, because your blessings won't come on me if I like that kind of stuff. But do I like what he's done? Oh, absolutely not. I pray, Lord, let everything that he's doing fail. And I have scripture on that. Don't debate me on that. I'll give you a bunch of them. Let the wheels come off his chariots. I won't vote for him in November, but I bless him. God may be born again. May his mind and his body be restored. Anybody that doesn't like me, Lord, I can speak and look. Bless them, Jesus. Bless their bodies. May they come into places to know you and to walk with you. Bless public figures. Bless public figures. People you'll never meet, bless them. Let's see what happens this month. Pray for the spiritual and physical expansion of this house. Hallelujah. And for other churches and other ministries. How simple can it be? If you don't know how to pray long prayers, he's just asking you, God bless that person. God bless it. And try to remember people that don't like you, or maybe you don't like, and just bless them. Bless them. It's like Gary Carpenter said, you may not mean it to start with, but you'll eventually start meaning it. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. If you want this blessing on you, would you lift your hands? In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I release this grace. We're going to prove you, Father. We're going to see if anything happens in our personal life or the lives of this church as a result of this month of intercession and blessing. We bless and we say in Jesus' name, let us have a word of blessing and intercession throughout this month for our friends, our loved ones, and our enemies. In Jesus' name, let it come upon us and let us see what God does in this month ahead. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and pass out some prophecies, or a prophecy that came last week. And if you will, yes. And I hope there's enough. And Candace, is this on the website? It's on the website. If you're watching and you want to follow along, this came last Sunday morning. And it's important that we honor the Lord and read it today together. And of course, there's some things that the Lord wants to say as a result of this prophecy. Hallelujah. Man, I enjoyed that praise song that the team brought, and then Psalms 3, Tommy Bates, that's so good. Okay, has everybody got one? Okay. This was a prophecy that came last Sunday morning by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we thank you for our family that is here and our family that's watching. Let the glory of the Lord saturate their homes. May the power of the Holy Spirit touch wherever they're at. Come into wherever they're at, Lord, as you're already there, and they've already felt your presence. Let the power of God flow in this service, and let the kingdom of God come and the will of God be done, and the power of your Holy Spirit be exemplified and Jesus glorified. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I will tell you this, that all true prophecy is based on the word of God. The Bible tells us, Paul instructed, that we were to prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. And as Pastor Dave used to say, all faith is built on the word of God. That's why it's important for us to understand. Somebody said, well, I'll just allow anybody to prophesy over me. Well, I don't know that I'm in that same persuasion. Because some people neglect the word of God and the Holy Spirit, the library. You know, somebody, well, the Holy Spirit can just cause you to prophesy anything. Well, I can believe that people believe that because I've heard a lot of prophecies that are not based on the word of God. The word of God, and I'm going to lift this canon of scripture, is the basis of all prophecy. The more, if you are inclined to prophesy, that is, if you have a gift that the Lord wants to use, and he wants all of his ministers, I think all of us fivefold should be at least acclimated, have a predisposition to prophesy. But the word tells us that faith is built on the word of God, and that prophecy, the word or the instruction is, let a man prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. So the more word you have in you, the more the Lord can eventually say, if he is going to say something through prophecy. So oftentimes when I read what the Lord has said through myself, as well as others that I know are truly speaking, present day speaking, I can see word in there, written word I'm talking about. This is the present day speaking, which is the word of the Lord, but it should be infiltrated and integrated with canon of scripture. And I will say this, that not that this makes you believe it anymore, but I wasn't intending on prophesying last Sunday, nor was I meditating, had I been meditating recently on David or 1 Samuel chapter 17. That wasn't in my thoughts or hadn't been in the script of my meditation in the last, I don't know when. But you stay in the word of God and you listen to the Holy Spirit. So let's look at it together, because this morning we want to actually speak about this prophecy, read through this prophecy, the five paragraphs in it, and then we want to go to the word of God. Bible story. David and Goliath. Wow, how much simpler can it be? But let's look at the first paragraph. Did I not say, the Lord said, did I not say that the enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom I said, resist, steadfast in the faith, says the Spirit of grace. For many of my children will not stand from the beginning and understand that he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, I'm going to reserve the right to say some things as we start into this. When he said, many of my children, what is he saying? Many of my children will not stand steadfast from the beginning. He's talking about from the beginning of the test or the trial or whatever it comes to is a distraction. If you will, at the moment of when it comes, you stand, I don't like to say it like this, but maybe it'll get it over to your natural way of thinking, you stand a much better chance of winning outright if you just knock it in the head vehemently right to start with. When the symptom comes, right then, don't wait 24 hours later or 8 hours later or 10 hours. I mean, jump on it and jump after it and look at it as an antagonizing enemy. 2 weeks ago or last week, I didn't even mention the candy. I woke up coughing. I went to bed fine. I woke up coughing and I could feel it all. You know how you can feel it? Here it comes. All that junk, you can feel it. Then you're going to cough. And then you just feel like your whole system is coming under it. right to start with, I know who it is. If I begin to say, my God, it might have been something I caught at church, or my God, it might have been somebody I got close to, or my God, it's what something, I just, you foul spirit. And I didn't do it that like that. So that woke her up. You foul devil. I know you, you spirit of infirmity. You're coming right now, but I'm coming against you. I'm attacking you right now. Go. I woke up fine. Just woke up fine, just like that never came. And I've been through enough of that in my life that usually when that starts, then you got a 2-week fight. And I'm not arrived. I'm just telling you, you got to jump on it right to start with. You got to be meaner than it is mean. Glory to God. Kenneth Hagin used to say, he was like 40, 50 years into his ministry. When he'd say this, I have never, ever had a headache. And people would say, my God. He said, I've had some real good opportunities. Real good opportunities. I could feel it. But the moment I felt it, I jumped all over it. And none of us have arrived. I'm telling you, we're going someplace. Okay. But yours is to rise up and not cow down. Somebody says, well, cow down. It's a short for cower down. Don't cower down. But yours is to stand fast, for the anointing of my Holy Spirit that fell upon that young man, David, that crossed the field in a run to the giant, was anointed to go forth without fear against that which brought great fear and paralyzation to all who heard the voice of the enemy. But I say unto you, my church, stand fast in this hour. Let righteous indignation rise up within your spirit against the attack. Hate. I'm going to tell you, some of you listening to me, I don't think there's too many in here because you've been through so much. I hope a lot of you are getting just mean. Not mean with each other, but mean-spirited towards the devil. Mean-spirited. Hate the attack and the avenger. Says the Spirit of grace. Let the anger of the Lord rise up strong in your behalf, and know this, that I've given you a steadfastness in the Spirit that will not accept. It will not, here again, cow down. Or will it? It will not become timid in the midst of the fight. Stand fast. Or stand against sickness, and stand against infirmity, and stand against contradictions of my word in every way, says the Spirit of the Lord. Let everything that you know to be truth rise up strong on the inside and validate that position of truth on the inside by the witness that I give you, that all things are working together for your good, says the Spirit of the Lord. That I'm bringing about through my spirit the victory in all things, says the Spirit of the Lord. Run. Run with patience. Run with determination. Above all, lift up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, says the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is all, there's like 3 or 4 things I could have stopped and said, that's word, that's word, that's word. Run, he says, with determination. Above all, lift up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, says the Spirit of the Lord. Speak my word in this hour. Do not cow down. Don't cower down. Let my spirit come in and eradicate all timidity from you. For I have not given you the spirit of fear. Isn't that what Paul said to Timothy? God's not giving you the spirit of fear, but of power and love. Nor of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Yours is to stand in the face of adversity and stare it down with my eyes of authority, says the Spirit of grace. Do not back up. Do not be quiet. Many are being quiet and recoiling into a shell as if to say, I'll wait until the night passes. It's so hard. Listen, I've been sick before. I've been infirmed before. It wasn't sickness, it was infirm. It was something that I injured in my body or something happened you don't feel like speaking much because it feels better if you just kind of get quiet and hope that it'll pass real soon. But the best time to speak the word out loud is when you're infirmed and when you're fighting the symptoms. I hope none of you say I'm sick. I hope none of you'd ever say I'm sick. I hope you say this: I'm fighting symptoms. Don't ever get sick. Don't ever get a disease. Fight the symptoms. Come on. Y'all got too quiet. I'm not talking about that stuff won't come, but don't ever say, I've got this.
I wish Callie was here.
Run with patience and determination. Do not back up. Do not be quiet. Many are being quiet and recoiling into a shell as if to say, I'll just wait for the night to pass or until the night passes. I say unto you, rise up, stand on your feet in the spirit, recoil against that which is come, says the Spirit of the Lord. Shake off the spirit of heaviness and run across the field to your giant. For I say to you, I got to stop right there. I just got to stop. I just saw this past week a living photo. It was, I don't know, back in the 20s, the tallest man they ever had on recorded. And then I wish I'd have wrote his name down, but you can look it up. You know, you can Google anything and find it. He was 8'11". 8'11". He was a white man. He's 8'11". His father was standing beside him. He probably was 6 foot or 6'2". I don't know, but he hardly came up to his waist, hardly. I mean, just above. He didn't live long. Early 20s, you know, it's hard to live that long when your heart's trying to pump to 8'11". Goliath, by all, everything I've read, on several commentaries, you should read a lot through the years after 35, 40 years. The word is my commentary, but I read a lot of other stuff. Across the board, everybody says that basically he was 9'6" or 9'5". That's a big man. If he's that tall, how wide is he? But I'm reading something here that David crossed the field. In other words, I'm not going to be too theatrical here. I'd like to just run at the camera, but everybody would say, my God, he's going crazy today. But David looked at this giant and he crossed the field. I don't even know where I was at. But he says, shake off the spirit of heaviness, run across the field to your giant. For I say to you, by my spirit, you will prevail and you will take off his head and you will mock the spirits of adversity. For it's given unto you not to settle, but to stand in a place of absolute. See my victory. I'm asking you to put on, I'm not asking you to put on a facade. Listen, please hear me real good. If you're going through something and I ask, I'm not asking you to put on a facade, but I'm asking you to stand on the word of righteousness and agree with truth in saying this is an invasion against me. I don't have this, or this doesn't have me. I'm fighting this. These are lying symptoms, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, it's a lie. It's a lie against the truth. See my victory. I'm not asking you to put on a facade. I'm asking you to stand in the spirit and act out what my spirit says, my word of truth inside of you. Or act out what my spirit says my word is, truth inside of you. Rise up with the spiritual giants that you are, says the Spirit of the Lord. For you're 10,000 times bigger on the inside than the clay jar, that's more word, that is on the outside that you live in. Your flesh is not who you are. I'm glad of that. Your flesh is not who you are. Your mind is not who you are. My spirit in your spirit is who you are, says the Spirit of the Lord. Dictate. Now here's where you got it. This is where you get where you think, oh, well, wait a minute. I don't want to get prideful. Listen, dictate what you'll do in the days ahead. Talk like this and talk like that. Like what? This is where we're headed. And yes, you can add, this is what James tells us, if the Lord so wills, but know this, that it is my will for absolute and permanent victory in your life. Do not settle for anything less. Talk like this and talk like that. This is where we're headed. That's what I'm going to be doing. I walk without infirmity. I walk without sickness. Is everybody with me? I walk without infirmity. I walk without sickness. I walk without disease. I'm not crippled in any way, shape, fashion, form, emotionally, physically, academically. I can add financially, anything, in any fashion or form, for I have raised you up. Walk like the spiritual leaders that I've called you to be, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. That's God. Listen, and let me say this. Not that anybody's protesting. If anybody, I don't know who you look up to or who you say that's a good person, good man, good woman. Listen, it's all right. It's perfectly all right to get a diagnosis if you need to. I've had to before. And it's all right to take medicine until you get healed. I've had to do that after I got the diagnosis. But if you are one of these people that each time somebody starts talking to you, you've got to start telling them, I got this, I got that, I got this, I got that. I'm taking this medicine, I'm taking that medicine. That's out of faith. That's not faith. I don't care how much you respect them as a leader or an elder or anybody in your life that you think that's a, that person, they may love God and they may be an elder or a leader, but if they talk like that, they're talking out of turn. Every time you talk to them, it's like, I got this, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that. It ought to be. It's all right if you need to talk to somebody that's intercessor, but it ought to be almost like somebody takes a baseball bat to beat out of you what you're going through. That's good. Now that's good preaching right there. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 weeks or a long time. This woman she almost reads my thoughts. We've been together going on 50 years. That's crazy. Can't be that old. But sometimes it's weeks before I'll even mention. When you pray, believe with me. Why? Because, see, the words of my mouth and the agreement of my heart. Now, I'm not talking to you. I'm not telling you that it's wrong to tell somebody. Don't. If you're sharing stuff on Facebook about your physical condition, you're out of order. Because there's so many people out there that. You need to have 4 or 5 real good intercessors that will speak the word, and they'll speak the word in truth, and that's the only people you share it with. And if they've got some intercessor that they know that you can share something anonymously, that's fine. But more is not better. More is not better. More people praying about it's not better. More people with authority praying about it. And if you talk to somebody, I mean, every time you talk to them, I got this and I got that and I got that. They may love God and you may respect them and they may be, but they're out of order as far as where they're walking in their faith confession. And if you told me one time, that's enough. And that maybe you did need it. You got to communicate. I'm not talking about mum's the word, don't ever talk. You got to tell it. But if you just see them every time, and every time, I got this, I got that, and I've got this, and I got that. And we ain't never going to get no better, and I think we're always going to stay poor. And faith don't talk like that. It don't talk like that. They don't share. You told me one time. Didn't you tell me one time? Yeah, I told you. I didn't forget it. I got an incredible memory. I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Now, some of you are wondering, I don't know why I even go to this church. Well, turn with me to 1 Samuel. Let's read an old. We just prophesied it. That's one of our miracles. I like to hear that sound. Isn't that great? Yay. Hallelujah. Mavis, it won't be long. It won't be long. Now, 1 Samuel 17. We just read about David. Let's read the word. Don't you like Bible stories? Hallelujah. How many of you know Bible stories? I hope you do. I hope you read your Bible. If I got Amber up here, she could answer all these questions. We don't have question and answer. I'm just going to read something to you. 1 Samuel 17, this is a story of David and Goliath. And you just heard the prophecy on it about being bold and crossing the field. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies, the battle, and were at Socah, which belonged to Judah, which pitched it between Socah and Ahezekah and Ephraim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head and was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat of was 5,000 shekels of brass. That's 125 pounds, if you want to know. That's a lot of weight just as a protective vest. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. I mean, this guy was wearing more weight than most men can carry. But if you're 9.5 foot tall, you probably weighed about 450, 500 pounds. It's just a mammoth of a man. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. One bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and your servants, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy. Now here he begins to blaspheme and curse God and curse Jehovah. Curse Yahweh, his name. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And David, the son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. It means just King James saying he was elderly in the days of Saul. And the three youngest sons of Jesse went. These were drafted into the army. They were part of it. And followed Saul to battle. And the names of the three sons went to battle was Eliab, the firstborn. And the next was Abinadab. And the third was Shammah. And David was the youngest in the and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now that's kind of peculiar because you think based on the reading, the rest of the reading of 17, that David just appeared first time he met Saul and that was it. And then they began a journey together and then adverse to each other later. But that's not true. When the word says here that he returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem, why was he returning from Saul? Well, he was returning from Saul. We'll just hold your place there, but take a little journey with me to chapter 16, verse 14, because this is not the first encounter that David and Saul ever encountered each other. The Bible says in chapter 16, verse 14, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon him, that he shall play with the hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." He's asking for a worshiper and somebody that can play the harp. "Then answered," this is peculiar, "then answered that servant, that one of the servants, and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, a mighty man, a valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and comely, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him." And I want you to note that. That's a peculiar verse to me because David's, first of all, he had a reputation as a worshiper. Somehow it got out. Somehow this guy knew him. And here's a young man, but somehow he was known. And the man prophesied. This is before David ever had his first battle. he's putting on a really good front for David, but he's prophesying. He said, this servant, basically prophesied or gave this report. He's a mighty valiant man. He's a man of war. David hadn't fought any wars or fought any battles, but he saw the character of God in him that he said, this young man's a valiant man and he's a man of war. He's prudent in matters. He's comely, meaning he's handsome, nice to look at. And the Lord is with him. In other words, he's anointed. If you meet him, you're going to see that he's the Lord's with him. 19. "And wherefore Saul sent the messengers unto Jesse." He knew who his father was. "And said, Send me David, thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David, his son, unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight." So here's the first kind of meeting. This is what happened. "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp and he played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed as well. And the evil spirit departed from him." So David would worship God with the harp and this evil spirit. And we don't have time to go into all that about this evil spirit that came to Saul. Now let's jump back over to the reading of the battle that we were in with Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. And we're catching up again in verse 16. "And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented himself," the Philistine, that's Goliath, 40 days. And I hope that you understand that the reason why it said that the three eldest brothers were drafted, they were in the battle, But David was with them, or David was with in the company of Saul. But at that point, he went back to feeding the sheep. In other words, his departure from Saul was not, he was a soldier in Saul's army, but he left him as this worshiper. He was his, what do they call him nowadays? Calming pet. He was his calm. He was his peace. Now they're in the battlefield. David goes back. We'll look at something very interesting in a little bit, and we won't mention it now so much. But verse 17 says this, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephod of parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousands, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledges." In other words, find out what's going on. "And Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines." But there really wasn't much fighting going on, just a lot of chatter and a lot of talk. "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench, and all the host, as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for battle." So there was some skirmishes going on, it appears, but not an all-out war, especially against the Goliath that stood in the midst of them and defiled the armies of Israel and God, and blasphemed him on a daily basis, the word says, for 40 days. In verse 21, "For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array against army, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren." So they're not on, it sounds like they're on the battlefield, but they're not on the battlefield. It's just kind of like they're getting ready to step out there, because you can't walk into somebody while they're fighting and start talking to them. They're engaged, okay? So it says here, "He saluted his brethren, and as he talked with them, behold, there came the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." Can you imagine? "And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely he defies Israel, is come up. And it shall be that a man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxes," he's talking about in Israel. "And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done?" In other words, repeat that, please. "To the man that killeth this Philistine, and take away the reproach of Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Now you can, you know, I've heard preachers talk about, and they are wrong. David, when it comes right down to it, he was upset and mad that God was being defied. He wasn't concerned about getting a pretty wife, and he wasn't concerned about going tax-free. He was concerned that the worshiper from the field had come into the battlefield, and it had totally shocked him that nobody was taking note. There was no man that was man enough to stand up and say, even if I die, I'm not going to go down like this. You're not going to shame me. "And the people answered him after the same manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep?" Boy, he's really just defaming him in the wilderness. I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down. Yeah, and Eliab, you're a coward. "Has come down that thou mayest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner. The people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said unto Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against the Philistines to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and the man, he is a man of war from his youth. And David answered Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Now again and again, the worshiper, the shepherd and the worshiper are one and the same. The shepherd and the worshiper, the man coming from the field is a worshiper. He's been out there worshiping God. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. You know, worshiping God will cause you to do the most peculiar things. You won't even know you did them until after it's done. And you think, oh, my God, what did I do? Can you imagine going to a lion and grabbing him by the beard? And this is his testimony. He's lying, or it's the truth, the word of God. He said, I smote him, and he didn't smite him with a spear at a distance. He evidently had to kill him with a knife or something in his hand, but he actually physically grabbed a lion. That a man can't do that. You got to have the Holy Ghost on top of you. A man can't, you can't fight a lion. He'll kill you. I grabbed him by the beard and smote him. But he's so full of the Holy Ghost, not like we're full of the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost was on him so strong that he didn't even know what he was doing until it was done. Where's Callie? I need an amen. Come on. This Philistine shall be as the one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me. See, he'd gotten used to God. He'd gotten used to victory. You need to get used to victory. Don't ever start settling for, like, this is the way, I guess this is the way it's going to be. Get mad over not having enough or not more than enough. Get mad over hurting. I'm not going to hurt. I'm going to talk like this. I'm coming out of this thing. It got worse last week, but I'm coming out of this thing. It's getting better all the time. Lie. Somebody say that's a lie. Lie to your, if the flesh is saying lie, you're a liar. Call the flesh a liar. The truth is the truth, which is the word of God. Hallelujah. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me from all these we just read. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor and put on him a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. He thought to go, and he had not, but he had not proven those. No, that's not how I worship. That's not how I do things. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off, and he took his staff in his hand. That's what you're used to in worship. That's what I'm used to, sitting out there worshiping God with that staff in my hand. And he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag. I just wonder what those soldiers, there must be thousands of them, and he's already got consent to go and fight. And he comes out of the tent all made up, and that sword dragging and everything. And then he goes back in, and he comes back out basically naked of any kind of artillery. And then he's not talking to anybody. You know, when you're in a battle, sometimes you don't need to talk. You know, you just need to pray. And David's probably praying and talking to God. And he goes over to the stream, and he begins to, and they're thinking, this guy, he won't last. I want to watch this. He's not going to last 5 seconds. He's going to be like toast in an oven that's just burnt up immediately. He is not going to last. What is he doing? And they're thinking, what's he doing down in the water? What's he doing down? What's he doing picking up stones? This guy is evidently, he's psychotic. He's crazy. He's not going to last. He took his staff. He put them in a shepherd's bag, these stones, 5 smooth shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, he saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine, he was highly insulted. And he said to David, am I a dog? Am I a dog that thou comest to me with a staves? And the Philistines cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come. He's thinking, this is the easiest. Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, the Holy Ghost. I know he's not born again, filled with but the Holy Ghost would come on people. And that boy was shaken in the Holy Ghost. And then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, of whom thou hast defied. Now this is how, when the Holy Spirit said, talk like this, talk like that, get brazen. No, I don't know. In the midst of your infirmity, I mean, when it's hurting real bad. No, I don't know that. I don't have that because by his stripes I'm healed. No, I'm about to say crazy stuff when you're really fighting. No, I'm going to give a lot of it away, but I'm about the richest man I know. I make money all the time. It just comes to me. It runs me down. Finances just run me down. I wake up in the middle of the night with all kind of dreams how to make more money. It just comes to me like crazy. The best time to talk like that is when you're going through the worst. My God, if any more comes in, I don't know. When there nothing's coming in, if any more comes in, I don't know how we're going to take it. We put 10,000 here, we put 10,000 there, we put 100,000 there, we're going to bless the church. We're going to build a church with it. We make so much money, I don't know what to do with it. Better start talking crazy. Thank you. That's crazy to the flesh, not crazy to God. I didn't get enough amens on none of that stuff. I don't know what's going on this morning. Because David said this, looking at that thing that's 9.5 foot tall. Now, there's no need for me to get theatrical because I don't want to fall and break any of these instruments. I'm about 6 foot tall, especially with these cowboy boots on. But that's 3 8-inch. Those are 8-inch risers. So that's 3 times 8. That's 24, right? That's 2. So that's 2 foot. And I'm 6. So I'm not. I'd be standing here at 8 foot. And he's another foot and a half taller. That's a big boy. And David's little Jewish guy, it's not, maybe he's 5'6", looking up at, and he's talking trash. Now, sometimes you need to talk trash to the enemy. Oh, you've come against my finances. I'm going to make $1 million before this is over with. And I'm going to give most of it away because I don't have to have it. I'm going to be so blessed. I can't pay my... I'll pray for me because I don't think I'm going to have enough to pay my rent next month. I'm going to have so much that I'll be able to pay all of y'all's rent. That's silly. Is it silly for a 5'6", 9'6"? Wait! I'm coming. Because when I get to you, I'm taking your head off. Glory be to God. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee. He's talking trash. Don't tell me. I know some of you are thinking, you're a little bit brazen this morning. I'm talking the word of God. I will give thy carcass of the host of Philistines this day. I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. We're not just going to beat you. We're going to get all your mamas and your daddies. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near and nigh and to meet David, that the David hastened and ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. Now he's getting past his bunch. He's running to the army. He's getting closer to their army. He's crossing the field. He's not like, well, you come over here because if something happens to me, when I in high school, I fought several a few times, and I never was. If you got me angry enough, I'd fight the biggest guy in the school. But you kind of got me angry. But I always did like it if some of my buddies was close enough to get him off of me. If he gets on top of me and starts putting it on me, I want you close enough that you can get him off of me. So you can talk more with your buddy. David crossed the field. He got on their side of the field, on their side of the 50-yard line. He's over there. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came near, David met him and hastened, ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead. And the Holy Ghost is, he's just doing all this. He might have been a pretty good marksman. He's probably killing rabbits in the field. But I'm telling you, with a Holy Ghost, you can drill them, man. You can drill him. And it sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. I mean, he's face down. Okay, face down. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in his hand, the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, stood on top of him, and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. See, you in spiritual battles, you got to get merciless. You really got to get merciless. You got to understand that not people, but according to the devil and the thing that is coming against you, you got to get angry and you got to get merciless. Cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Well, I guess so. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until they had come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the wayside of Sherem, even unto Gath, unto the Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents, and David took the head. Can you imagine, Gary? Now, it's one thing to get the football. If you won the football game and you get to take the football, the one that you won the game with, you get to take that home. David's carrying around his head with him. He won the Super Bowl. He's carrying a head around with him. Yeah. What'd you do today? Well, you will see. I got it in a sack. I got it in a sack. He took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said, now this is really peculiar. He said to Abner, the captain of the host, to Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son this strapling is. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, and Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistines in his hand. And Saul said, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse of Bethlehem, Bethlehemite. Now, we don't spend no time on this. We got to close here in the next few minutes, and I got several points to make before we walk out of here. But why couldn't Saul recognize him? It's amazing. We just read in the last chapter that Saul had already knew who his father was, his house was. He sent for him, and he had actually been playing for him. I read all kind of things, you know, because I've got a computer that I can go in to look at all different kinds of commentaries. They were all over the board. They didn't even know. They give three different speculations of why they thought that this didn't match, because earlier Saul had him as a worshiper to get the devil off of him. And now after the battlefield episode, it's like he's either had dementia, or he's like, I don't know who this person is. Now, who are you again? Or who, Abner, find out who this man is. And they were all over the board on it. I couldn't accept any of them. But I know this from what I believe the Holy Spirit showed me. The tormented Saul could not recognize the worshiper from the warrior. Now, just think about that for a moment. The tormented Saul that was being tormented, and David come to him and would solace him and worship. And he saw him as one man, but... And I don't know if time had passed. That was a partial explanation. But there wasn't many years, because David was still a young man. And then some tried to put that 16 beyond 17 as in chronology. That doesn't work. That doesn't work either. But that's neither here or there. But Saul didn't recognize David. But I can tell you this. The shepherd that was in the field was a worshiper. He was the Psalms 23 worshiper. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. This was the worshiper. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, or yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Boldness comes through worship. The prophecy that we read this morning sounded bold, and I know that I didn't plan on trying to be bold, to be theatrical this morning, but the boldness of the Lord is upon me for this purpose, to let us know that in spiritual battles, you've got to rise up and speak the word of truth in all boldness. I don't care if you're a grandma, I don't know if you're grandpa, or you're a child or a young one, or you've got to, and I'm not talking about putting on demonstrative demonstrations so people look at you, but in your quiet times or in your prayer closet, there is a time to speak and to be bold. And even when people inquire how things are going, it's all right to say, I am winning against the war. I'm winning against the lying symptoms. I have more than enough. Listen to these things that the Lord gave me. In just a few moments, we'll close. And I thought these were excellent points from the Holy Spirit. Living on the battlefield, living on the battlefield, and all of us have our battlefields, living on the battlefield without a rebuttal, there's this misspelled word there, without a rebuttal will paralyze your faith. Living on the battlefield without a rebuttal will paralyze your faith. If you don't speak, but you hear the rhetoric, but you don't speak back, because God has given you a word of truth, Jesus spoke back. That's the shield of faith. It is written. It is written. Living on the battlefield, and we're all in a battlefield, without a rebuttal, you better have a rebuttal in your mouth. It'll paralyze your faith if you don't have a rebuttal. David was not living. Now this, we know, he came from somewhere. Where did he come from? He came from worship, the wilderness of worship. He wasn't entrenched with them. David was not living on the battlefield. David lived with the sheep in the wilderness of worship. That's why he came in with a fresh attitude. That's why he came in with a new perspective, a different perspective. It paralyzed everybody else. The enemy of your soul wants to paralyze you. Well, it's been this way for 5 years. It's been this way for 6 years. This isn't going to change. That's going. You got to get out of the battle enough. You're still going to. It's still your body. You're still going to be fighting the same symptoms. It may be still your checkbook. You're still going to. But you better get out of that battlefield and get over into the wilderness of worship, so you can come back into it with a totally different perspective, and see everything differently. You can't live inside the battlefield and have a different perspective. You've got to worship. You've got to go someplace and then come back to the battlefield. The battlefield has to be the battlefield. The place of endowment is another place. The war is not won. David was coming from someplace else. The war is not won by living in a tent in the battlefield. The war is won by coming from somewhere else other than the battlefield. And those of you that have notes, that's a WON1, of course, as you know. Before the engagement, before intercession, and before directives or confessions, there must be an intimacy with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I love intimacy with the Holy Spirit and with the Father. I, you know, and this is just a little personal, and I won't go into it too much because it is very personal. But I hope while you're in intimacy that you're oftentimes loving on Jesus, because he sits on my couch, you know. And then the Holy Spirit, and then the Father. I pray, I hope that you're developing a real strong relationship with all three. You know what God is? He is a triune. He's one, but he's triune. And you need to get to know Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Who do you talk to? Oh, I'm in the best family in the world. I got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Daddy's my daddy. He's my father. Holy Ghost, he's incredible friend. Jesus, incredible Lord, Savior. Talk to him all the time. Hang out with him. I wanted to read Psalms 91. We don't have time, but that's a psalm of directives and authority. He that dwelleth in the secret place, of course, will dwell under the secret place, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I won't go into that for sake of time, but let me say some other things. Boldness for battle starts in the humility of private worship. Boldness for all that I said about you speaking things that sounds ridiculous, you can't say that. You'll run out of, after a while, you'll just get mad at me for saying stuff like that in church. If you don't have a private prayer time of worship, because all that private prayer worship will make you a man or woman where you're extremely bold in your confessions. The exchange of intimacy is ferociousness. It really is. We worship, I like this statement he gave me, we worship the Lamb in private that the lion may live out of us in public. That's good, isn't it? I think that's real good. We worship the Lamb in private that the lion may live out of us in public. And I've got to. You're okay. Lunch will be better in 10 minutes than it is right now. How sweet and how do sweet and holy? I want, Pastor, I just want to be, I know you're a little bit, I love you, Pastor. You're a little bit like, what did you have for breakfast? Or, you know, did you? Got a little barbed wire and hot sauce there. But I'm a sweet person. I just love Jesus, and it's hard for me to relate to some of this, got to get up in the devil's. Well, how do sweet and Holy Ghost people talk? This is quoted from one of the sweetest men that I know in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your father did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they've slain them with which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and you are the murderers. You have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, after having said those things, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of God standing at the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen. That's the man we're speaking of, reading about. He was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lay not this sin to their charge." See, you can talk rough to people and still love them at the same time. We're talking about talking rough to the devil this morning. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Stephen, this is an observation, the martyr was so intimate with the Jesus that stood in heaven as a witness for him at his execution, that he was empowered with an overpowering courage to preach to his executioners with absolute fear. You know, the word says in 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. You worship God long enough, whatever trial that you're in, it's in front of you, you'll begin to almost feel, it's not legal to feel sorry for the devil, but you'll think, this thing's passing. I'm going to get through this. And it makes me mad as spit that it's in front of me, because it's not what the word says. The word is truth, and I'm going to speak the word. The church is afraid. I'm talking about in general. It's afraid. The church that is afraid has no intimacy with God. Now, if you're walking around in fear and you can't, the church that worships will not tiptoe around the issues of the hour. Intimacy cannot help itself. It just can't help itself. It pours out into boldness without thought or contemplation. Oh, did I say that? My God. Much of the church is like the seven sons of Sceva. They talk a good talk in pretense, but they have no power and are not recognized by demons. You know why I want to be recognized by demons? I want them to know my name. You better want them to know your name. You better be walking enough that devils know who you are. Acts 19:11 said, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And then certain of the vagabond Jews," that's the traveling Jews, "exorcist, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches.' And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, a priest," he was a minister, he was a man of the cloth, "which did so," these seven sons. "And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know.'" Can you imagine them seven boys or young men getting around this guy? Because they were exorcists by trade. They were getting paid for it. And they were paid to exorcise this devil. And they all stood around him. And they said, "In the name of the one that Paul serves, come out." Because they'd seen it happen and knew. Can you imagine him looking up like this, with a goofy smile, and that devil speaking out? They're fixing it. They are in trouble. They have kicked a rattlesnake barefooted. They are in big trouble, mister. "And he said unto them, 'Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know.'" I can see him standing up now. And them guys backing up. "But who are you? Who are you?" and the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them and overcame them, all seven. One man usually cannot beat up seven men, but a demon-possessed man against seven men that are not Holy Ghost filled, he can put it on them. He leaped on them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. He tore their clothes off. He beat them up. Listen, the church at large is playing games. They go to church. They learn the name of Jesus. But when they speak Jesus, nothing happens. Nothing happens. There's no magic in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is empowered by you knowing Jesus. And the word says, let everyone that nameth the name depart from iniquity. Hallelujah. Our boldness to speak in this hour is that devils know us. That's not our pride and joy. Our pride and joy is that Jesus knows us. But when we speak, something happens. They don't look at us. They don't look at us and say, no, I'm not. No, they look at us and say, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, and I know you. You mean what you say. I'm tired of getting beat up. I'm leaving your house. Hallelujah. Let's raise up the warriors that we are. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. If you come tonight, we're going to pray, and I think we're going to have, if I can get it, and I think we can, and I'll get with Harry or whoever. So we're going to watch Dutch Sheets lead us in a time of intercession. I thought it was really good, all that I saw. So if you want to tune in and pray with us for an hour and a half tonight, and Dutch will be leading us in a time of intercession. We'll just be watching something that he just did last week. So Father, in the name of Jesus, and again, if there's anybody out there that does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please, please, today is your day. All you have to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And I really mean it. And I'll follow you the rest of my life. And if you do that in sincerity, you will be born again. Just confess that. And if you need help, email us. We have a plan. We'll begin to disciple you in a tremendous way. Praise the Lord. I bless them, Father. I bless them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for this word and thank you for the power. Let this word settle in our hearts. And above all, Father, I'm asking you to remind us throughout this month to bless people as we're just people that we've not been thinking of in a while and people in the church. Bless them and bless our team. Bless our worship team. Bless all the elders. Bless all the people sitting in the pews. God bless their finances. Bless their health. Bless their marriages, bless their emotions, bless them, Father, bless them, bless them, bless them. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You are blessed. Amen.